Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and you're going to get the most out of this if you've been listening already. And if you have not been, I invite you to come to our website, billybrim.org, that's billybrim.org, where we have been looking at God's calendar. Now, you can, if you don't have a lot of time, just catch up from this week, but if you really want to understand it, you'll need to go and get last week, too. But we finished yesterday on the significance. Leviticus 23 is God's calendar. It's not a Hebrew calendar, though the Hebrews keep it. It's a God calendar, and God is keeping it. It is the history of, let's see how David Barron calls it, the sacred calendar of the history of redemption. Each of these moeds, we looked and saw what that meant, appointed times on God's calendar, foretells something that will happen. It is prophetic. There was a time when they were all prophetic. There was a time when the Passover lamb was prophetic. But we know that it's now been fulfilled, and he's already come. Bless the Lord. We looked yesterday, there are actually, these calendars marked by seven. There are seven feasts, but some of them are right together. For instance, Passover. Passover begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And also during this time, they also have the offering of the sheaf of the first fruits. And we shall read it from the Bible here. This is Leviticus chapter 23. Speak unto the children of Israel, verse 10, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. And this is the third day after the lamb has been offered. And we know that the lamb who was planted a corn into the earth, our Lord, was raised up on the third day. And even as he was raised, this sheaf was being waved before the Lord. And this is the meaning of it. We know what the meaning of it is from 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. But now is Christ raised from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. He was the first to be resurrected. And then it says in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians that we shall all be resurrected in our order. Bless the Lord. Reading from his book, Type, Psalms, and Prophecies. He who has raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise us up by Jesus. Of this the Holy Ghost bears witness also in the passage quoted. For after that he had said before, if Christ be not raised, then is your faith vain. You are yet in your sins. The apostle goes on to say, but now is Christ raised from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death by man, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22. In other words, Jesus stands to us in the relation of our covenant head. As by virtue of our connection with the first Adam, we are subject to death and corruption, which we derive from him, so by virtue of our connection with the second Adam, we are made partakers of his life and immortality, which we derive from him. Quote, Colossians 1:18 says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first begotten from the dead. In him is life. He is the living one, the prince of life. The church, in the person of the Savior, is made alive forevermore. And this life is not to be confined to him. It is derived from him and to all his people. Because he lives, they shall live also. He has a legal right to bestow this life upon them because he was dead. He has power to impart it to them because he is alive. Did he enter the gates of death as the covenant head of the church? In the same character he issued from them, and thus when he arose, it was as though every member of his body, great and small, had risen along with him. And I venture to go farther, looking at the book of Ephesians, which reveals far past what Leviticus reveals, and even Corinthians, it reveals that when he quickened him, he quickened us. When he raised him, He raised us. When he seated him, he seated us, and we are seated in him at the right hand of the Father. Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. And now, we've looked at the barley harvest, and we've looked at the first moeds on the calendar. Now we're going to look at the second. Verse 15 of the calendar pack. The calendar passage is Leviticus 23, verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. They're going to offer a new first fruits, because this is another moed. It has its own historical event. It has its own harvest, and it has its own prophetic future. The historical event for this next event on God's calendar was the giving of the word at Mount Sinai. This is the day, this commemorates the day that man received for the first time ever God's word in written form. Oh my, what a blessing. It is the wheat harvest. And so the first fruits here are going to be of the wheat that they have been harvesting. Its future, its prophetic future fulfillment is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on what we call the day of Pentecost. Now, reading again from Barron's book, Type Psalms and Prophecies, page 35. Pentecost. The glad season of the grain harvest lasted 7 weeks and was closed with the feast of Pentecost, on which another first fruits was presented to the Lord. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meal offering unto Jehovah. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 parts of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven for first fruits unto Jehovah. Leviticus 23:15-18. Ancient Jewish tradition, already universally received at the time of Christ, regarded the day of Pentecost as the anniversary of the giving of the law from Mount Sinai. So that's the historical event. One beautiful observation of this event is worth quoting. Maimonides says that it shows a recognition of the purpose of God that he had in view in redeeming Israel out of Egypt, quote, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws, and so be the center in which the holiness of Jehovah might be displayed in the sight of the nations. Just as one who is expecting the most faithful of his friends is wont to count the days and hours to his arrival, so we also count from the Omer, sheaf of first fruits, of the day of our exodus from Egypt to that of the giving of the law, which was the object of our exodus, as it is said, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And because this great manifestation did not last more than one day, therefore we annually commemorate it only one day. That's a quote of Maimonides. And he is saying that they have counted from the time that they offered the wave offering, the sheaf offering. They have counted from that 7 Sabbaths and added one day to 50, because that marked the time that they came out of Egypt with the Passover lamb until they got to the mountain where they met God and he gave them his word. The 10 Commandments and, of course, the Torah. If Jewish tradition, Maimonides said, connected the Feast of the First Fruits with the mount that might be touched, And the voice of words which they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. We have in this respect also come unto Mount Zion and to the better things of the new covenant. To us the day of Pentecost, Baron writes, is indeed the feast of first fruits, and that of the giving of the better law, written not in tables of stone, but on the fleshy tables of the heart, with the Spirit of the living God. For on that same day, as the worshipers were in the temple, probably just as they were offering the wave lambs and the wave bread, the multitude heard that sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, which drew them to the house where the apostles were gathered, and there to hear every man in his own language. So this feast commemorates when they received the word. Its product that they offer the first fruits of is wheat, and its fulfillment is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2 to see when this feast was fulfilled. Remember that Jesus, when he was lifted up, he told them not to leave Jerusalem until they had been baptized with the Holy Ghost. So he walked, we are told in Acts chapter 1, that he walked for 40 days with the people. And then he told them not to leave. So he sent them to this room, and they went to the upper room where they had had the Last Supper with him. And there in that upper room, they waited. They were waiting for the next circled date on God's calendar. They were waiting for the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. Tomorrow, we're going to go into this, and we're going to really have some wonderful times looking at the connection between the Spirit coming on the first day the Word was, on the same day that the Word was given. The Spirit and the Word agree. Now, we're having something very special at Prayer Mountain, and it's going to be, you remember Papa and Mama Goodwin and how they moved in the Holy Ghost. And Brother Hagin said that their church was the place that the gifts operated the best and the most. Folks, it's time for us to know about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And we're having the third annual Joe Jordan and Ron Smith Holy Ghost School on Prayer Mountain. Both Joe Jordan and Ron Smith were members, even worked on staff with Papa and Mama Goodwin. And each year when we have this, I'm telling you, we have it out of Prayer Mountain. And we have some Holy Ghost times. You will need to register because we have to cut it off after a certain number of people. Our chapel out here won't hold very many people. And the cost of this is $75 per person, $130 per couple. And for that, you'll get a wonderful catered meal every day. And you'll study in the morning. You'll have Holy Ghost times in the morning and in the afternoon. And by the end of the week, you will know how to flow. Now, this is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow when we look again at God's calendar and the connection between giving of the Word and giving of the Spirit. Shalom, shalom.